sitting out a year, it is interesting how much it has changed how church works and how I've forgotten how to do everything. Of course, that doesn't mean anything. It may be something to do with this gray that's coming upon me, getting forgetful. But we turn to the story of the Syrophoenician woman. She isn't named in the text. We could call her Judy, but I don't think it's going to fit, and it doesn't work in there as well. But the Syrophoenician woman is from Tyre. It's a country outside of the land, outside of the boundaries of the Hebrew community, the Jewish community, with its strong walls, big boundaries to maintain itself. Judaism is that. It has boundaries to keep others out, to keep the people in, and to make the people different. If you were Jewish, you were physically changed through circumcision. This isn't something you can change. This isn't something you can pretend you are or not. Now you think about women. Well, women didn't matter. Women in that time and culture were not quite part of the human gathering. I'm not trying to be rude, and it was awful to think of that. But women were a lower class. They were a lower grouping. They were oftentimes possessions. But this woman is from Syrophoenicia, and she's a Gentile. Now, if this is your first visit and you've never heard of what a Gentile is, there are Jews and there are everybody else, and we call them Gentiles. It's an interesting way of phrasing everything. You've got one group that's defined and the other group that is undefined, but is the other, if you will. And Gentiles, just like females in that time and culture, really didn't count if you were about listening and being amongst the people. But this is a good mother. How do we know that? How do we know that this Syrophoenician woman is a good mom? She comes and crosses all kinds of boundaries. Think about that. Jews do not associate with Gentiles. Jews do not associate with women of other cultures, ever. Jews and this woman, she had to literally cross barbed wire fences to get near Jesus and to implore him, not on her own behalf, but because her daughter was ill. Those of us who are parents or have kiddos or responsibilities understand that. We would do anything for our kids. We would go to any extremes. And we need to keep that in mind as we contemplate other families and cultures around us that are struggling. But this mother comes to Jesus. Her daughter has an unclean spirit. We don't know what that is. It isn't defined in the text. It could have been a cold. In that day and age, if you had a cold, it was because you were inhabited by demons that were giving you this illness. Everything had to do with good and evil. If you had a cold back in that day and you sneezed, the way to help that person was to try and bless them, to cast out the demon. So we would say, God bless you. Isn't it funny that we still do that all these years later without really understanding the basis for why when someone sneezes, you say, God bless you. And yes, Gesundheit means the same thing. It's all right. Doesn't hurt. But that casting out of the demon, it may have been mental. We know people with mental demons. They are the hardest in many ways. It is so hard. It seems like we've made great medical progress in our world, but for mental distresses, we are still learning and still crawling to understand. We've heard of this thing called PTSD. That's relatively new. Within my lifetime, that wasn't known. And now we begin to hear what post-traumatic stress disorder may entail. And so we know the characteristics, and we know some of the band-aids to use, but to understand it, to be able to cure it with a shot or with some system of knowledge and understanding, is still a little bit beyond us. So this demon, we don't know what the little daughter had, but she came to Jesus for help. She's a good mother. She's a good mother, and she asked Jesus, not for herself, but on behalf of that daughter. And Jesus responds, and this is the core of why this scripture stands out to me and why I wanted to address it this morning. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." That's harsh. Language is an interesting thing, and the language that we use and the way that we treat each other around language is kind of a struggle. And in my generation, I have seen some amazing changes. When I was in my 20s, a good friend of mine, his name is Jeff. He was marrying Lisa. They're still married, have a bunch of kids. Actually, C.J. Bush is one of our clergy in our conference now. And we were at the rehearsal dinner, and Jeff and his fiance walked around and introduced everyone. "This is my friend, you know, this and this is." And he came to one couple, and I knew he was really struggling because he wanted to introduce them right. And he says, "This is Dr. Smith and her wife." She was the doctor. And as soon as it came out of his mouth, he knew he had it backwards. He turned the brightest red I have ever seen in my life. He had thought it through ahead of time. He had it set in his mouth, but this is the doctor and his wife. It isn't easy for us to say this is the doctor and her husband, which is what it truly was. She was most gracious. But the language that we had learned and the formalities, in that day and age, I didn't know very many female doctors. And that sense was, if it's a doctor, it's a man. It locked and caught him. And the language came out, even though he knew it was wrong. He apologized immensely. But it was an interesting illustration of how language has power. Language can change things. Language is about beingness, and it's an important thing. I was thinking the other day about some old movies that I remember as a kid. And some of them I haven't seen in a while. And I got to thinking about it, and there are a handful of those that, as I think about them, they're not on TV anymore because they are really not acceptable anymore. Some of the things that were in movies in previous times and standards of their time are no longer applicable for who we are today. And maybe we need to just set those aside. There are some words that we are beginning to set aside out of our culture. Because language has power. Language is important. And these changes in our midst, but they're a lot of work. I have one concern. If I walk up to a group of people and I say, "How are you guys?" I'm beginning to question whether that's acceptable if there are females in the gathering. When I was in high school, you'd say, "How are you guys?" It meant, "How are y'all?" But is this now a phrase that no longer works if women are offended that you say, "How are you guys?" instead of saying "guys and gals" or "gals and guys" or however you want to say it? I don't know. I'm going to try and find. I think "How are y'all" has saved me more times than you can imagine. And I served in Wyoming for 4 years, so I get to use "y'all." Is that all right with y'all?
No. Not all y'all.
Not all y'all? Well, we got a Texan back here who's giving me some lessons too. I'm learning other things. I grew up with a certain set of heroes, if you will, celebrities. One of them was an athlete, an Olympic athlete, a football player named Bruce Jenner. And he was on the box of Wheaties. And I remember seeing that, and then recently I realized that Bruce Jenner is transgendered now, and Jenner has transitioned, and she is now Caitlyn Jenner. Now, I had to write that down to make sure that I said it exactly the way I said it. Now, there are other ways to say that, and all of them get caught up in all the pronouns and the he's and the she's, and I'm not sure where I am. And it feels like I'm walking around on quicksand. Did I say that right? Did I offend, or did I get it wrong? And what's the right way to say this, that, or the other? And in it all, it isn't just about political correctness, which can get a little out of hand. It's about doing no harm. Doing no harm. first church I served full-time, a woman came to church several times, and then she began to be intermittent. And one day she came in, she said, "Can I speak to you? You're in office." And I said, "Sure." And she said, "I can't. My father was abusive. And I won't give you the details, but it was horrific." And she said, "So when we refer to God as Father," she said, "I can't sit through it." Oh, I felt heartbroken for her. We think, well, gosh, here is a woman being injured out of a habitual language. So at least now I have understanding and sensitivity to be aware of how she is, where she is, and her struggle. Do no harm. If we are nothing else as Christian disciples, doing no harm is the very beginning of offering Christ, isn't it? Is that true? Amen? Amen? Amen. All right, we're getting there. We have a woman in our... No, I just did it wrong. We have a person in our conference who's non-binary. Not a woman, not a man, not a he, not a she, prefers not to have gender selected. So instead of saying he is or she is, we say they are. Now that's complicated because they to me means more than one. And so if you see a sentence and it says, "We'll send them over to you," you think, well, who's coming with the person that's coming? And so we get a little confused. But our language is confusing. It is coming over to you doesn't work at all. We used to make a joke when we were in high school about they're changing the man and woman names. In the middle of the street, if you've got a hole down there, they make a cavern down inside there that you can work on pipes or electrical, whatever, and they put a cover on that. You know what that's called? Well, what if you can't use man? It's not a woman hole cover. That doesn't work at all. So they said, let's use the word peep. That doesn't work. It just doesn't work. So how are we about language and about gender and all of these things? And I have to admit to you, I'm older and my habits are strong and my tongue sometimes runs when the brain is not ready for it to be going. I pray that I do no harm. Lord, help me. Lord, help us. Amen? Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. I have dug into this scripture. I've taken it apart. I've looked at the Greek. I've looked at the original text. I've looked at translations. And nothing can really soften it much. There are two things that might be of help in understanding this. But I cannot perceive how Jesus would be so crass, hurtful even, to call this woman a dog. One hypothesis is that in their culture, it was common that you had Jews and Gentiles, you had just children and dogs. It was just the language that was used in the time. I'm not sure that sells it for me. The other is that you can translate the word dogs as puppies. Now, I like that. Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the puppies. That helps. It's still pretty harsh. But what is this about? And it's an important step, and it's an important statement that he makes to her. Should he have said Jews and Gentiles? I don't know. Maybe he knew that he would be speaking to generations, millennia later. We're no longer worried about Jews and Gentiles. We're worried about Christians and non-Christians. We're worried about believers and non-believers. We're worried about them and us. And those that terminology to say Jews and Gentiles would have limited it to a time and place, and he moved it out of that. You see, he's speaking to us today. As he's speaking to us this moment and helping us understand that we're supposed to be about being the church, and it should be all for the church before it's for everyone else. Yes, but what happens next is so important. She says, yes, but even those under the table eat the crumbs. And he turns to her and says, because of your faith, the demon has left your daughter. This is the bottom line for where all of this is about. There are those within the body, those that are so holy, those that have know all the rules, that have scripture memorized, that can recite, that can quote, that can win the Bible category on Jeopardy, that those that are in the know and those that aren't. But those that aren't in the know, even they, as people of faith, are part of the body. It isn't through any other matter but through their faith. We see that over again. Here is a woman from Tyre, a Gentile, a Syrophoenician woman. Her faith is what causes the healing. We saw it with the woman at the well. She is also an outsider, a Gentile, divorced, living with a man that she's not married to. But her faith is what makes the difference. There's the man with a legion of demons chained among the catacombs. And it is through faith that he is saved. Language, it is part of what we're about, and it's powerful. And it can be healing and it can be hurtful. And we pray for God to help us and guide our tongues and guide our utterances. But over all and everything else, to show our faith and to offer people a connection to Christ that they might demonstrate their faith as well. Amen? Amen.